The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, by Chanukah. What was Chanukah? The Tanna Rabbanan, we learned Bechofei BeKislev, on the 25th of Kislev, Yumei de Chanukah Timnayu, we celebrate 8 days of Chanukah. Inan de Leila Mispet Bahon, de Leila Sanis Bahon. These are days which we are not allowed to eulogize, we are not allowed to fast. Shikshenichnusu Yevonim Lahechel, when the Greek Empire at that time, the great power of the world, this was the Greek Empire. They had conquered the Syrian, Median Empire. This took place after the story of Purim, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And this empire wanted to rule the world, and then they invaded Eretz Yisrael, and they subjected Klal Yisrael to many harsh persecutions. And then they went into the Hechel, into the holy parts of the Beis HaMikdash. Timu kol hashmonim shebehechel. They rendered impure all of the oil of the Hechel. Kishigavro malchus beis hashmonoi, the notzchum, and there was the family of the hashmonoi. They fought against this empire, and they were victorious. And then they went into the Beis HaMikdash to purify it. They searched and they found only one flask of oil, which had the seal of the Kohen Gadol of the high priest on it. And there was only enough to light the menorah in the Hechel for one day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle, and it remained lit for 8 days. Lishana acheres kovum v'asum yomim tovim. The next year, the Chachomim of that generation established these days as yomim tovim, as days of goodness, v'halol v'haydor, that we should celebrate with halol and hodah. Halol is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the halol. What does it mean, hodah? So Rashi tells us, Leimar alanisim behaydo, that we should say the tefillah of alanisim, which the Chachomim wrote for us, which is found in the haydo, in the part of the Shemayin Esrei that's known as haydo, where we give thanks to Hashem, and in the benching that is known as haydo. So this is what the Gemara tells us as to what took place on Chanukah. The Rambam elaborates a little more. The Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, he says, "V'bayis sheni, during the second Beis HaMikdash, kishemalchei Yovan gozru gzeiros al Yisrael u'botel dosum, when the Greek Empire went and they made decrees on Yisrael, and they did not allow Klal Yisrael to keep their laws." Or to occupy themselves with Torah and with mitzvahs. And they stretched out their hands to take their money and their daughters. And they went into the Hechel, into the Beis HaMikdash, into the inner parts of the Beis HaMikdash, not as far as the Kodesh HaKadoshim, most holy, but the Kodesh, Uporse by Pirtzis, the Timal Taharis. There they did all types of profanities. And they rendered it tome, impure. Tzar lahem li Yisrael me'od mipnehem. V'lachatz umlachatz godlo. And this was a great sorrow, a great suffering to Klal Yisrael. And they were persecuted exceedingly. Atzirichem aleihem elekei aveisenu. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of our fathers, had compassion on us, v'hashiyom biyodom, and saved us from their hands. V'atzilom, v'govru b'nei chashmonoi ha-kahanim ha-gdolim, and the family, the children of Chashmonoim, who were the kahanim gdolim at that time, they became, HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened them, v'horgum v'hashiyu Yisrael biyodom, and they killed the Greeks, and he saved them from their hands. Beimidu melech mina kahanim, and from this family they established a new king, Chozer Malchus Yisrael Yesha Masayim Shonim, and the sovereignty returned to the kingship of Klal Yisrael for more than 200 years afterwards, Arachur ben Asheni, until the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed by the Babylon by the Romans. Ukishagobra Israel alayvehem the obdum, and when Klal Yisrael were victorious on their enemies and defeated them and destroyed them, bechofei bechodesh Kislev hoyo. It was the 25th of the month of Kislev. Minichnusu lahechel. They went into the Hechel, v'leimotzu shemen tor b'migdosh. They did not find any pure oil in the Migdosh. Elapach echod, except one flask. V'lohoye b'ela hadlik elayev echad v'lvad. And there was only enough to light for one day. V'idliku mimenu neiris ha-marocho shmeinu yomim. And they lit the candles of the menorah, which was in the Hechel of the Beis HaMikdosh, for 8 days with this shemen, with this oil. Achikotchu zeisim, until they were able to grind new olives, v'haitzia shemen tohor, and to produce pure olive oil. U'mimneze hiskino hachomim shebeisidor. Because of that, the sages of that generation enacted shiyushmeinus yomim ha'elu, that these 8 days, shetchilosim chofei bekislev, which began with the 25th of Kislev, they should be Yimei Simcha v'Halal, days of rejoicing and Halal. U'madlikin b'hen aneres be'erev, and we light candles in the evenings, al pischei habatim, by the doorways of our houses, b'chol laila v'laila, each night, b'shmeinus ha'leilos, from these 8 nights, l'hareis u'legalis hanes, to show and to reveal, to publicize the miracle which took place. Yomim elu heina nikroin Chanukah. These days are called Chanukah. Vein asurim behespid v'taynes kimei Purim. And we're not allowed to fast or to eulogize like the days of Purim. Madlokas aneres ben mitzvah midivrei seifim kekriyas amagillah. And the lighting of the candles is a mitzvah from our Chachomim, like the reading of the Megillah and Purim. So this is the Rambam's elaboration of the Gemara as to what took place on the Hanukkah and why we have these mitzvahs. I'd like to elaborate a little further by reading a little from the Megillah's Hanukkah. Megillah's Hanukkah is a historical work on Hanukkah. This was in the days of Antiochus Melech Yovan, who was the king of Yovan, of the Greek Empire. Asher Moloch al Medinas Rabbeis v'gam al Eretz Yehuda. And he reigned over many, many empires and also over the land of Judah. And it was at that time that wicked people from Israel went out and they said, let us make a covenant with the Goyim, with these nations which are around us, because then we will have success, and otherwise we will have tzoros. They decided to do this, and they sent emissaries to the king, And the king said yes, and he gave them permission to follow the Greek ways. And they put up a gymnasium in Yerushalayim, like the ways of the Goyim. You know, the Greeks, the Greek Empire are the ones who founded the Olympics. The fact is, all of the traditional words that have to do with the Olympics are all Greek words. Marathon, Olympics, and so forth. Yes. And so they did this. V'leimolu odes b'nehem, and they made themselves uncircumcised. They stopped to circumcise the children so they should be like the Greeks. The Greeks were not just a warring nation. In fact, they were a very, very, very cultured nation, and their culture was overpowering. There are many times, we're not going to go into it this evening, but there are many times in the past that we have elaborated on this enormous influence of the Greek Empire, where the Chazal tell us that they were the wisest of all of the nations. The sources that we have, for example, in mathematics, if you notice, it's all Greek names, geometry, and trigonometry, and so forth. The words, the traditional words that we have in medicine are Greek words, and in astronomy, and so on and so on. And they had an enormous culture and wisdom, and the influence was very, very overpowering. And they forsake the bris of Hashem, to walk in their ways, and they went and they gave themselves over to do what was evil in the eyes of the Hashem. And after Antiochus, who was the king of the Greek Empire, he went and he conquered Egypt. He decided now it was time for Palestine, for Israel. So he went up against Israel to war. And he came with a mighty army against Yerushalayim. And he came with great arrogance, El HaKodesh Penimo, and he invaded into the Beis HaMikdash, and he took the Mizbah Hazov, he took the golden altar and the menorah and all of its vessels, and the Shulchan Aponim, the table and the gold, and he scaled off gold, and he smited the people with great injury. And there was an evil godel Yisrael b'chol meishveisim, and there was a great mourning in all of Yisrael. Sorim uzakedim nenochu, bachurim ubusulai sublolu, upenei noshim yofais komamoru. Enormous sadness and brokenness in Yisrael. Chosim v'kale b'chuposim, sob nevalelos, even by the chosanim, by the kalais. And the king Antiochus went further, and he wrote and he said, Torah achas, chuka achas, chol yeshvi arzeinu. There will be one law and one culture in all of our land. And he sent out soldiers l'chol ore Yehuda, to all of the cities of Yehuda, to command the people that they must walk in the ways of the goyei ha'aretz, of the nations of the world. And they must stop keeping Shabbos and the Yom Tovim. They must stop circumcising their sons. And they must eat nevelis and treifus, that which is not kosher. And whoever will not listen will be put to death. And this progressed, and then they came, his soldiers and his emissaries, and they built altars in the city of Yerushalayim and in the cities of Yehuda. And there they went and they sacrificed non-kosher animals to their gods. Vayikru es sifrei Torah Hashem lekroim. And they went and they took the sifrei Torah and they tore them into pieces. Vayisrufu eisom be'esh. They publicly burnt them. V'chol asher nimtzi itei sefer bris Hashem. And whoever was found with a sefer Torah. V'chol asher es pi Hashem. And whoever was found fulfilling the mitzvahs of Hashem, hiku lefi chorev kasher tziva amelech. They would smite him by the sword in accordance to the command of the king. V'hanoshim asher molu es b'neihem humsal pi amelech. And the women that had their children circumcised, they were killed in accordance to the word of the king. Esa olelim tolu betzavorom, and they would take the young infant and hang him on the necks of the mother. And the male, the circumciser, they would kill with the sword, by avozu es botehem, and take the spoils from his house. But there were many of Yisrael that cleaved to the Torah of Hashem. And they refused to eat anything which was not kosher. And they chose rather death than to desecrate the word of Hashem. Then it says that one day, it says Bayomi Mahim, in those days, Hoya Kohen be Israel, there was a Kohen in Israel, Ushma Matisho ben Yechanan ben Shimon, Bimne Yohoyoriv be Yishalayim. There was Matishohu, he was the Kohen Godel, and he was the son of Yechanan, son of Shimon, and he lived in Modo'is. And he had five sons. Yochanan, each one had his same Kodesh, a Hebrew name, but a Greek surname. Yochanan Akachi, Shimon Hatasi, Yehuda Makbi, Eloza Achoroni, Yonasan Avofsi. He had five sons. Yochanan, Shimon, Yehuda, Elozer, and Yonasan. And Matishohu saw the abominations that were taking place in Yehud and Yerushalayim. And he cried and he wept to Hashem Oili ki noladati lachazeis shever ami. He wept on the ill fortune he had to be born in a time to see the breaking of his nation by the Amnechor, by these Gentile people. The Migdash Hashem l'shamo, Beis Migdash in ruins, Sifateinu l'mishiso, our great beauty was taken from us. And he rent his clothes and he put on sackcloth. And then one day the Pekid HaMelech, the captain representing the king, came to the city of Modo'is to speak to the people and command them that they must leave the Torah Hashem and they must serve idolatry and sacrifice. And he said to Matishohu, Hein ish nogid v'nichborato, you are a leader and you are the noble man of your community, of your nation, and you have many sons and you have a great family. You bring the first sacrifice on this altar like the king has commanded, and others will follow. And Matisho raised his voice and he said, Im omnom yusuru kolav de amelech goy goy me elohov yishmon lekeilei lohom yeres chukes aviseham. If all of the servants of the king and all of the nations of the world will listen to him to forsake the ways of their father, lo kein anochi umishpachti, I will not, nor will my family. Ki leinosu yomin usmol, we will not turn to the right or to the left, me'acharei chukas aviseinu, to change from the laws of our father. Cholila lanu lashum imitzvus Hashem alakeinu, heaven forbid we shall go away from the commandments of Hashem. Ulhafe brisha itonu, and to make a covenant with you. Lachein es dosi amelech leinase, v'shukeseinu leinomir, v'shukes amelech. And therefore, it's no deal, he told them. We're not interested. As he completed what he was saying, a Jew came up and he sacrificed on the altar of the king. Bayan Matishohu, and Matishohu saw this, Bayeham Levovai Bikirbay, and he became so angry. Bativar Kinose Letoris Hashem. And fire burnt in him. The zealousness for the Torah of Hashem, by Yorotz Bechamose Ala Ish, and he ran up to the person, by Miseo Eitz Labomo, and he killed him. He killed the Jew right by the altar, Begames Apokir Hemis, and then he went and killed the captain of the king, by Yitotz Eitz Aboma, and he broke the altar. By Yikane Leseres Elakov, Kasher Osa Pinchas Lezimri Ben Solu, and he went and he avenged the name of Hashem like his forebearer Pinchas did when Klal Yisrael were being enticed by the Midianites, like Pinchas did at that time. And then he went and he ran into the city and he cried out with a kol gadol, with a great voice, Mio Isha Chorei Leseiras Elakov, who is the person that is loyal and dedicated to the Torah of Hashem, Machzik Bivrisoi, and will hold up the covenant, Yovei Acharoi, let him come after me. And he and his sons and those that followed him went out into the desert. And there they took their wives and their children and they concealed themselves. And then the story goes on that the king heard about it and he was outraged and he sent his armies and they started a war, and Matishohu gathered more people and he made a citizen's army and started to fight back. And even though it was almost a joke, because the armies of the Greek Empire had conquered almost the entire world, and this was a small citizen's army. But Titzlach HaMalocha B'yodom, but they started to succeed. And Vayirdefu U'Matishohu V'rei Avovru B'chol Gvulei Yisrael, and Matishohu and all his bands of followers went throughout all of the boundaries of Israel. Vayitzu as abomos, and they went and they broke the altars. Vayamolu ayelodim, and they circumcised the children. Ashele nimol, that were not circumcised. And vayiskapzu aleim rabbi mechasidi Yisrael ashiriyas Hashem alavavam, and all of those that were from the chasidi bnei Yisrael, the righteous that feared Hashem, they followed them. Vatitzlach hamalocha biyodam, and they became successful. And they started to pursue the Greeks. And Kizokin Matishohu, and when Matishohu was becoming old, because the war lasted a long time, Bekorvu Yom of Lomos, he was close to death, he called his sons and he said, Eis Tzora, these are very bad times for Israel. And therefore, my sons, get up, Bekanu Leseris Elakeinu, and take revenge for the Torah of Hashem. Simu nafshechem v'chapeichem, be prepared to give your lives. Al bris elekeinu, on the covenant of Hashem. Zichru asamasim asher osu abeseinu b'mei kedem. Remember the deeds which our fathers did in the early days. V'hoyu lachem l'shem l'siferes l'doros olam. And from that they acquired a name and a glory forever. Chizku levavchem b'seiris Hashem, strengthen your hearts in the Torah Hashem, b'yorim elakim kaneichem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift your crown. Shimu lekol Shimon, you should listen to Shimon, achichem, your brother, ki ishkochem v'novenhu, because he is wise. V'yilochem lo'ov, and he will be your father, he will be your leader. Yura Maccabee, Yehuda, he's been strong from his youth. He will be the head of the army. And he blessed them. And then he was gathered to his fathers. And all of Israel wept for him. And they made a great mourning for it. And then the story continues of the various wars, that each time they defeated one of the Greek armies, the king would become outraged and send a greater army. And then again he sent greater armies, until finally he sent his greatest generals there and his whole armies, and they still wiped them out. And then it states that finally when they broke the back of the Greek Empire, they went and they went up to the base of Migdush, El Har Zion. And when they saw the Migdush, it was desolate. And the altar was desecrated. And the gates were burnt. And all of the compartments were broken. And it was overgrown with grass and weeds. And they rent their garments, and they put ashes on their heads, and they wept, and they brought chatzetzeres trua, they brought out the trumpets and the shafras. And then they chose Yehuda from the Kahanim, because Yehuda chose from the Kahanim those that did not forsake the covenant of Hashem. And they took out the old altar, and they started to build a new one. And they wanted to light the menorah, and they could only find one flask of oil. And who dwelt in that house gave brocha, and it burned for 8 days, and it was on the 25th of the 9th month, which is Kislev. They got up in the morning and they brought new sacrifices on the new mizbeach and the new altar, and they rededicated the altar and the Beis Hamikdash with great joy and with musical instruments. Mayisma kolom simcha gedola, there was great rejoicing by Klal Yisrael for 8 days, and they lit candles in the houses, and Yehud and his brothers and the sages commanded the people that every year b'deishana b'shana they must keep these days b'halal b'teidah l'Hashem, with halal and hodah and thanks to Hashem, and to bring light candles in all of the houses. So this is part of the Megillas Chanukah. This gives us some background into what took place. When we study the mitzvahs which the Chazal enacted for us on Chanukah, and the particular tefillahs that they made for us, we see in particular three principles. One is the principle of Prishumi Nisho, that we are to reveal this miracle to others. Secondly, Lahodos Ulahalel, that we must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we must say hello to him. And thirdly, Lishimcha HaGodol, to his great name. Where do we see all of this? When it comes to Prishumei Niso, to publicize the miracle of Chanukah, this we find consistently in all of the halachas of Chanukah, in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch. And we find many times, it's even me'akev, that it can render the mitzvah invalid if it's not capable of publicizing the miracles. For example, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Tonu Rabbonan, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Lanicha, Al Pesach Beis Rimachutz. Where is the proper place that one should light the Ner Chanukah? Al Pesach Beis Rimachutz, outside his house. Imdor Baalia, if he lives upstairs and he doesn't have his own doorway outside, but rather it's a common doorway with others. Then Miniche Bahalein Asmuchalos Yusarabim. Then he must put it in the window which faces the public thoroughfare. Ubishasa Sakono, and during the time of danger, when we lived amongst the Goyim, and they won't let us do this, Miniche Al Shulchon Evedayov. Then he puts it on his table inside his house, and it's sufficient. So we see that the place which was established for the candles was outside of the house. Today we light inside in the golus because it's like a sasakona. Who knows what would happen if we would have every house would have candles outside it when we live amongst the goyim. But when we were in Eretz, and this has been the tradition for centuries, but when we were in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha was to light al Pesach HaBayis outside the house. And Yerushalayim, they still do like that today. And this was because of Pirsumei Nisva, because we have to tell everyone about the miracle. And the commentaries bring that even today, when we light inside, that's also to be mefarshim the miracle, to spread the miracle to the Bnei Beisei, to the people of the house. And therefore, there are those who hold that if you're going to light the candles late at night and you're alone and there's nobody else in the house, or the people are sleeping, there are those who hold you can't light it. You can't make a brocha. You can't fulfill the mitzvah. So this is one example. Another example is man hadlokah, the time of the lighting of the candles. The Gemara says, when must you light the candles? Nishetishka achama achetich leregel min ashuk. This is also on Chof Aleph Amud Beis in Masechta Shabbos. When the sun is setting, until people stop coming and going in the marketplace. Nishetishka achama, when the sun is setting. There are different opinions as to exactly what that is. Many learn that's when it's darkness. Some learn it's a little before darkness. And the Rambam learns it's the beginning of sunset. But whatever, this was because this is the time when you can be Megales HaNes, when you can reveal the miracle to others. And the Gemara says, according to one opinion, that if you did not light it at the time of sunset, if there are still people coming and going in the marketplace, this is when they lit at the doors of their houses. And that shiur, that the Gemara says it's a chatzi shor, it's half an hour. The whole time span of lighting the candles was a half an hour. So it says if it's still within the half an hour, you can light it. But if it's after that, there are two opinions in the Gemara, but one opinion holds you cannot light it anymore. The adlik, madlik, during that shiur, but not afterwards. You've lost the mitzvah. Because no longer is there pishumei nisha. Can you reveal the miracle? And the Rambam paskens like that. The Rambam holds that's the halacha. If you did not light it within that time, then too late, you lost the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is not just lighting candles. It's not like Shabbos licht. There you light it for your own enjoyment. But the essence of the mitzvah is to show everyone what took place. If there's no one to show, there's no mitzvah. The Bali Teisvis hold, according to the Dean of the Gemara, since there were two opinions, all right, you should still light afterwards, but you must try, certainly, to light within that time. But that was then. But in our time, since in the Golus we light inside the house, so then we can light later, but it has to be when the people are in the house. Otherwise, there's no mitzvah. Another example. The Gemara is full of such examples. Another example, the Gemara says, in Chof Gimel Amud Beis, that if a person has enough money, only enough money, It's a poor man. To buy a candle for Hanukkah or wine for Kiddush. What should he do? So the Gemara says, maybe, really, perhaps, the wine for Kiddush should come first. Because Todir Sheina Todir. We have a principle that if two mitzvahs are in front of you, you fulfill the one that comes more often first. And if you can only fulfill one of them, then you fulfill that one. So Kiddush comes more often than Ner Chanukah. So the Gemara says, no. Ner Chanukah Odif. Ner Chanukah, you should spend the money on the candle, on the oil. Because Pishu Meiniso. Because the Ner is a Pishu Meiniso. It's revealing the miracle to everyone. And that's more important. Another example the Gemara brings, which is in the Gemara. This is on Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says that the mitzvah is to light the candle. It's at the time of the lighting of the candle. Not at the time of placing the candle, but to light it. Therefore, it must be lit at the proper time, and it must be lit in the proper place. So the Gemara says, what Gemara brings that if a person lit a candle in the proper time and proper place, but he was holding it, and never put it down. In other words, you go to the front of your house and you hold the candle. Or you go to your window and you hold the candle. Moses says, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Moses says, why not? The mitzvah is lighting the candle in the proper place, in the proper time. So why isn't he fulfilled the mitzvah? So the Gemara says, because it says, Mishum hareya eimer, letzorchei, hu denokat lo. Because the people who see it will say that he's lighting it for his own need. So what? Mitzvah is to light a candle. You lit it for Chanukah. What's the difference? And the Rashi says, Leko heker niso. There's no presume niso then. If a person lights a candle and he puts it down, we see that he must be lighting it for the purpose of revealing the miracle. And for that reason, it has to be evident. But if he lights it and he's holding it, some people think he's lighting the candle for himself. And therefore it's not evident from the candle that he's showing everyone of the miracle. And therefore he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. We find another example. This is also here on the Chof Aleph on the base. That we find by Chanukah what is known as the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. It says that the actual halacha is Ner Ishu Beisoy, one candle for every household, each day. That's the requirement, one candle for every household each day. Therefore, if a person only has 8 candles, he lights one every day. Then the Gemara says, but there's Mahadrin, you can do better. Everyone that lives in the house can light one candle. Then the Gemara says you can do even better. That every day you can add a candle. The first day you add one candle, the second day you add 2 candles, the third day you add 3 candles. That's Beisil. Beis Shammai says the opposite. First day you light 8 candles, then 7, 6. Why is this all Mahadrin, Mahadrin? So the Rishonim say because there's more Pesumei Niso. Because you are revealing more of the miracle. So this is the source where we see a Pesumei Niso. Actually, there's another interesting case. The mitzvah is to light the beisoy in your house. It's a cheves abayis. The person has no house, he doesn't light. And not only that, he cannot fulfill the mitzvah in some other place. Has to be in your house. Because of that, Shulchan Aruch brings that with the menorah which is lit in the shul, nobody fulfills the mitzvah. Has to be in your house. So the question is asked, so why do we light the menorah in the shul then? And we light with a brocha in the evenings. That in the evening, the custom is to light the menorah in the shul with a brocha. So they ask why. So they bring sources. But since a lot of people will come, Mishum Pirsumei Nisa, since you will be able to reveal the mitzvah, so they enacted the custom of lighting with a bracha. But incidentally, you cannot add on this. There is no source to light in any other places with a bracha outside of your home, with the exception of the shuls. Now, because of that, there's a whole discussion in the Peskim. Many times it's common that the shamash comes in the evening. Nobody's there yet, and he lights the candles. Later on, people will come and see them. There are many Peskim that object to it and say it's not legal, because the mitzvah is the hadlokah, the mitzvah is the lighting. And at the time he lit, there was no one there. So there's no pirsumei nisa. And therefore, he's not allowed to do such a thing. So this is pirsumei nisa. We see not only an emphasis in Hanukkah on telling and revealing legalis, to tell everyone of the miracle, but we see that's intertwined with the very heart and essence of the mitzvah of the Ner Hanukkah. That was the mitzvah, to light the candles in order to reveal the nes. And if it's not revealing the nes, then don't light them. See, there's no mitzvah. Then we said there's a second principle, halo v'haido. How do we find that? Well, the Gemara brings, like we quoted, the Rambam, that these days were set aside for halal and hodah. All right, halal, we know what that is. We say halal during the 8 days of Hanukkah. And hodah is what we say in the alanisim, alanisim valaporkin, where we say in the part of the Shemayin Esra that's known as the hodah, to give thanks, and in the part of the benching. Now the Gemara brings that this is what it was set aside for. So the commentaries say, from here we learn that it's not like another yontif where you're not allowed to work, because it doesn't say it was set aside for isha malocha, that you shouldn't work. Therefore one works on Hanukkah. Then the commentaries go, but do we have any other mitzvahs? Do we have any other mitzvahs on Hanukkah? So the commentaries say, no, there's no other mitzvahs on Hanukkah. There's lighting of the candles, there's halal, and there's hodah. So then the commentaries say, well, what about the Hanukkah parties? What about the latkes? What about having a nice suda? So in Shulchan Aruch, this is a discussion. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought in Simen Tofresh Ein, Siv Beis, Ribu Yahasuda Yishemaribim Bahem. This that many have parties or feasts during Hanukkah, Heim Sudas Harashus. The Mechaber, the Beis Yosef says, there's no mitzvah in this. There's no mitzvah. Shleikovum lemishta v'simcha. Because the Gemara says explicitly, these days were set aside for halal v'haidah, not for mishta v'simcha. So there's no mitzvah in this. The Ramah says, yesh ksas mitzvah beribuish hasudas. There is some mitzvah in it. The Baisna, then he says, Neagin Leimar Zmiris Ushfoches Besude Shemar Bimem Vozavishudis Mitzvah. Because if it's a party where you will sing praise to Hashem and you will give praise to Hashem, then it becomes a Sudis Mitzvah. The Mashal, the Mishnah Berurah brings it, and also the Gra brings it. The Mashal says as follows: Kol she'aseh kedei liten shvach lemokom, o lefarshem anes, o hamitzvah, hakol sudas mitzvah. He says as follows: to have a Hanukkah party where there is just eating and drinking,
There is no mitzvah whatsoever. None whatsoever. Not like Shabbos, not like Yom Tov. There's a mitzvah v'samachta or v'einuk. Because Chanukah was not set aside for that. It was set aside l'holdos u'lahalel. But if at the party you use that to give shvach l'mokom, to give praise to Hashem, l'farsim anes, and to publicize the miracle that took place, then it's a sudas mitzvah. Then it's a mitzvah, the party. What's he saying? He's saying very simple. Because Chanukah was set aside, legalis hanes, to reveal the miracle, and lehodis lahalel, to praise. So if the Suda gives you an opportunity to do so, such a party gives you an opportunity to do so, then it's a Suda's mitzvah. Then it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Chanukah. Because this is what Chanukah was set aside for. This is what the Mashal says, and the Gra brings it. But if it's just a mitzvah of just eating and drinking, which other times would be a mitzvah, Shabbos is a mitzvah to eat and drink, Yom Tov is a mitzvah to eat and drink, Purim is a mitzvah to eat and drink, but Chanukah is no mitzvah, see, because it was not set aside for that. So here we see the emphasis on Lehalel u'lehodos, and we see it further. Actually, the Hallel, which we say on Chanukah, and that's known as Gomrin as a Hallel. We say a total Hallel. That is the only time of the year that we say Hallel for 8 consecutive days. There's no other time. In Eretz Yisrael, on Pesach, you say the entire Hallel only the first day of Pesach. The rest of the days we don't say the entire Hallel. Chutz Lares we say 2 days. Otherwise we just say an abbreviated Hallel. When it comes to Shavuos, we say Hallel Eretz Yisrael only 1 day. Chutz Lares 2 days. Sukkos, in Eretz Yisrael, you say Hallel 7 days. It's true, you say another day, but that's not for Sukkos. That's for Shmini Atzeres, which is another Chag, which is another Yom Tov. So, according to the basic halacha, the most you'll ever say Hallel, the whole Hallel, for one Yom Tov, is 7 days. Exception to that is Chanukah, where you say it for 8 days. And not only that, but the Rambam has a chapter which deals with the laws of Hallel. Where does he bring it? He doesn't bring it by Pesach or by Sukkos. He brings it in Hilchos Chanukah. First he tells of Hallel and Chanukah, and then he says we also say Hallel on Pesach and Sukkos and so forth. The Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Hey, he says, "B'chol yom v'yom yishmenes yom imelu gemir masahal." All of the days of Chanukah for 8 days, we complete the Hallel. Umavarach lefonav, and we say the Barucha. He says, "This mitzvah is a mitzvah b'divrei seferim. This mitzvah is a mitzvah from our sages. The lo Hallel shel Chanukah b'levar hushim b'divrei seferim. And not only do we say Hallel in accordance to the commandments of our sages in Chanukah." But on all the days that we complete Hallel, it's from the sages. And he says there are 18 days throughout the year when we complete the Hallel, and these are they. He says the 8 days of Sukkos, that's which means Atzeres, the 8 days of Chanukah, the first day of Pesach, and so forth. So he even brings all of the halachas of Hallel after, and as after he brings the halachos of Chanukah, the Hallel on Chanukah. So we see the emphasis of Hallel v'Hedo. And now the third principle that we said L'simcha ha-godl. We see there's an emphasis, L'simcha ha-godl, to your great name. Where do we find this? In the Al HaNisim, the sages enacted an Al HaNisim for us for Hanukkah and for Purim. If you examine it, you will find that the first half, the structure is that the first half of each of them tells us what took place. B'mei Mordechai v'Esther, kishama amar aleihem Haman ha-rosho. In the days of Mordechai and Esther, there was a Haman, b'kesh la'ashmid, what did he want to do? And the same thing by Hanukkah, b'mei Matisho ben Yechanan kein Gadol, in the days of Matishohu, om de malchushovon, so the Greek Empire stood up against us and what they wanted to do. That's the first part. The second section deals with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. On Purim it states, and you with your great compassion, you broke their conspiration, what they conspired, and so forth. And Toloi save as one of Allah eats, and you hung home on the tree in the sense. And the same thing by Purim, it states, by Hanukkah, it states, you stood by us in our day, in our time of need. Raftis rivom, dantos dinom, you judged them, and so forth and so forth. Masati giborbi ad chaloshim, you gave the strong into the hands of the weak, and so on. So the first section deals with what took place, and the second section deals with what, with the Yeshua, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. On Hanukkah, though, we add a third section. And what is the third section? It states, "Ulecho asishi shem gadol v'kodesh be'elamecho," and unto you was made a shem gadol, a great name and sanctified name in the world. And twice, and then again we say it. But these 8 days were set aside to praise your great name. So twice in Hanukkah, which we do not have in Purim, there's an emphasis that for you, your great and sanctified name was made in the world, and these days were set aside to praise the Shimcha HaGodol, your great name. So these are the principles that we see by Hanukkah, which are very, very unique. And in the short amount of time that we have left, let's see if we can explain some of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has two hanhogas, two ways in which he conducts himself with the world. Sometimes he conducts himself with the world in an open manner, where we can see him. Sometimes in a concealed manner. Sometimes he reveals himself, and sometimes he conceals himself. And the source for this we have in the Gemara, in the Masechet Psochim. The Gemara brings on Daf Nun, right at the end of Perek Gimel, we have a posuk that states, "V'hoya Hashem lemelech al kol ha'oretz." Hashem will be king over the entire land. "V'yom ayu hu yeh Hashem echad u'shmayachad." On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have one name. In the days to come, when he will reign over the entire world, he will have one name. So the Gemara asks, Mora says, "Oto inna lav shem echad hu." What do you mean? Then he will have one name, and today he doesn't have one name. Omar of Nachum by Yitzchok. Nachum by Yitzchok says, "No. There's a difference between now and later. Now, his name is spelled with a yud and a hey. His name is spelled yud hey and a vov hey. But nikra, but we do not pronounce it yud hey vov hey. We pronounce it Aleph Dalet. We pronounce it Odon. We do not pronounce his name the way it's written. Olam Habor, But in the world of truth, when truth comes to the world, kula echod, then we will pronounce it the way it's written. Nikra biyutei, v'nichta biyutei. It will be written with a yutei vavhei, and it will be pronounced in a yutei vavhei. And that's what it means. In those days, it'll be one, while now it's not one. Now Rashi, and then the Gemara brings a posuk from Dovr HaMelech where he said, "Zeh shmi le'olam, v'zeh zichri le'dor dor." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "This is my name le'olam, forever." But it's written as the word olam, to conceal. So Rashi explains that in this world, Hashem's name is concealed. In the other world, it will be revealed. Why in this world is it concealed? Olam. Because this world is called Olam. The word Olam means Helem, to conceal. Therefore, his name is concealed in this world because of the sheker, because of the deceit and the lies of this world, and because of the darkness of this world. So his name is concealed. But there'll be a time when this darkness will depart, and then his full name will come out. And this is what is meant when at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this was in regards to the war of Amalek. He said, Vayomer, Hashem said, Ki yod al keis ko, milchoma l'Hashem ba'amolek midor dor. He says, I raise my hand on my throne and by my name, and I swear that I will have a war with Amalek forever. Now, his throne is spelled with a letter missing, and his name is spelled with a letter missing. So Rashi says that Hashem states that my name and my throne are not complete. Ein shmi sholem ve'ein kisei sholem. Achim chayshmei sh'amolek. Until Amalek is eradicated from the world. Because as long as there are these type of enemies, then my name cannot be complete. Then Rashi says, when will his name be complete? It says, Mahashem la'elam yeshev, Hashem la'elam yeshev, Hare Hashem sholem, when Amalek will be destroyed, and there will be truth in the world, then his name will be one, and his throne will be one. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is concealed, then it's not known as Shimcha HaGodol. It's not his great name. It's like a small name. And the way he reacts to the world and to Yisrael is also in a way of concealment. When his name is revealed, and then it's known as Shimcha HaGodol, his great name, then the way he reacts to the world is in a revealed way. When it's concealed, then his actions are also concealed through what? Through this world. And that's through the nature. We do not see him. We see merely the natural events of the world. But when his name is revealed in the world, then he reacts to the world by moving aside the teva, the nature. And we see him. We see his actions. So these are the two ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself with the world. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the level of the world rose to enormous heights. And the level of the Beis HaMikdash, of our temple, was known as the Gilui Shem HaGodol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great name became revealed to the whole world. Like we have many, many sources in the Psukim. The Gemara tells us it was Eidus Lechol Shehashchina Shruyishom. When the Beis HaMikdash was strong in its foundations and strong in its purpose and beauty, the whole world knew that the Shechina Shehashchon, that he dwells there. His name was known to everyone. It was revealed to everyone. It states, "Benoharu kol ha'amim, kol ha'goyim." All the nations of the world would want to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. It states, "Zu beisi beis tefila l'chol ha'amim." My house was a house for all of the nations. Why? Because it wasn't concealed. The whole world saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw his name. It states, Shai Lamelech, when the Melech HaMashiach will come, and this took place during the time of Shlema HaMelech, Shai Lamelech, all of the nations of the world came and brought tributes to the king of Klal Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash, because the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misparsim, it spread throughout the whole world. And so on. If his name was known to the whole world, then the way he conducted himself also was in a manner which was evident and not concealed by the teva, by the nature, by the physical nature of the world. So it should have been a time for miracles. It was. The Mishnah Novus states, Asora Nisim Nasu Lavisenu Bebeis HaMikdash B'chol Yayim. It states in Novus that every day 10 miracles would take place in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara brings by us in Masechta Shabbos, it says, Ner Marovi Shenosan bo shemen kemidis chavruseho. This is on Chav Beis Amud Beis. Umimeno ho yamadlik hu bo ho yamasai. That the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash had a Ner Marovi. The Ner Marovi was the candle towards the west. It was either the center candle or was the second candle, the first one that started towards the western, which was towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This menorah, it states Ner Tomid, it was a fire that never went out. Every morning the Kohen would go into the Beis HaMikdash and he would put fresh oil and fresh wicks in all of the candles. Towards evening, while it was still day, he would light all of the candles. The next morning when he would come to remove the leftover oil and wicks and to put fresh ones in, the western candle was still burning, even though it had the same amount of oil as all of the other candles. So what would he do? He would cleanse all of the candles except the western candle. And that one he would leave burning. And towards evening, as he would come in, he would light all of the other candles from the western candle. And then he would put out the western candle, put in new oil and wicks, and light the western candle from the others. And that way it was a Ner Tomid, it never went out. So the Gemara says this was a miracle in the menorah every day. It states, Zum Ner Marovi Shenosan Bo Shemen Kemidis Chavruseho. In this western candle, the same amount of oil was put into it as all of the other candles. Umimeno Hoye Madlik. From here he would light. Bubo Hoye Masayim. And here he would conclude the lighting of the candles. What was this for? This was Eidus, the Gemara says, a testimony that Hashem dwelled in the Beis HaMikdash. It was told the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. During the time of the Greek Empire, and when they came and they profaned the Beis HaMikdash, They brought Klal Yisrael away from Torah mitzvahs, and many went away. The level fell. And no longer was his name or he known throughout the world. And again there was darkness. But it was Matishohu and his family that brought this level back. They returned the Beis HaMikdash to its previous glory, and they returned HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to where it was known throughout the entire world. And how did they do this? They did this by being prepared to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the world, even at the cost of giving their own lives, like is evident from the Megillas Chanukah. Matishohu said, all the nations of the world can go away from the traditions of their father, but I will not heed the mitzvahs of the king of Greece. And he told his sons, be prepared if necessary to give your life and to sanctify your life, to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the world. The Gemara tells us that when Klal Yisrael is prepared to sanctify themselves for the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rabbim in public, then they are bringing his name to be revealed in the world. And if they are bringing his name to be revealed in the world, then he reacts with his mannerism, that he conducts himself with Klal Yisrael in a revealed manner. And that is moving aside the nature of the world that conceals him and showing him to the world outright with revealed miracles. The Gemara brings, for example, in Masechet Brachos, Daf Chof Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, it says, Omar Lei Rapopa Labaya, Rapopa asked Abaya, Maishno Kamoi Dimecharesh Luhuniso, Umaishno Onu Dulei Mecharesh Niso. Rapopa asked Abaya, why is it that the early ones used to be able to make great miracles and we can't? Is it because they learned so much? He says, we know as much as they did. And yet we see Rabbi Yehuda, before he would take off one shoe when there was a drought, before you could say anything, he would bring rain. Omalei, so he answered him, Kamai havikom masri nafshayo laukidush Hashem. The early ones would give their lives to the sanctity of to Hashem's name. Anam le masrinam. But we are not prepared to give our lives to Hashem's name. The Gemara says further in Masechet Seita, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis and Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Yehuda was kidu shem shemayim v'farhesha. Yehuda went and he was prepared to sanctify, he and his children were prepared to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly. Because of that, Nikra Kula Al Shmai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his name and placed it in Yehuda's name. Yehuda's name has all of the letters of Hashem's name. It has the Yud and the He and the Vav and the He. Moses says, where do we see Yehuda was prepared to give his life to Hashem's name? When they came to the sea, actually the Gemara before says one place with the case of Tamar, he was prepared to sacrifice his name and his whole reputation in order that Hashem's name and justice should be true, where he publicly admitted that the children were for him, from him, to save Tamar, where they wanted to burn Tamar, that's in this week's Sedra. But here the Gemara brings also that when Klal Yisrael came to the Red Sea and the waters were raging and the Egyptians were coming down behind them and they cried to Hashem, and Moshe said, go forward. Every shevet said, no, I am not going into those raging waters. I'm not going. Kofatz Nachshon ben Amidodov, Nachshon, the grandson of Yehuda, he went and he jumped into the waters, and the waters came up to his neck. Hoshienu lekei kibo marim anofesh, and he cried to Hashem, the waters are drowning me. But he said, Hashem imloch leolam vo'ed. Publicly he cried out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reign forever. He was prepared to give his life to Hashem's name. What did Hashem do? Vayiboku hamayim. He split the waters. When one is prepared to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the world, even at the cost of his own name and life, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in the world. And he reveals himself by breaking the natures of the world. And the waters split. And this was Yehuda. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu would call Yehuda on his own name. Because he was, Hashem said, he was prepared to give his life for my name. And this was an old quality of Yehuda. Because they were kings. And the king, this is the duty of the king. To be in front, public. And the bracha from Yehuda that Yaakov gave him was Yehuda achicha yoducha achecha. You will be known by your brethren. This was Yehuda. And this had to do in particular with the Beis HaMikdosh, because it was David, the descendant of Yehuda, that would build the Beis HaMikdosh, that would make Hashem's name known in the entire world. David and Shlema HaMelech and the Melech HaMashiach b'mehirah b'yameinu, his descendant. And the Matishohu and his family were Kahanim, they were B'nai Levi. And the Levim also were known for this. Why? Besides the fact that it was the Levim that were the ones in charge of the Beis HaMikdosh. But it was Levi who was prepared to give his life to save Dino, where he saw the desecration of Hashem's name by Dino in last week's parsha, that the goyim had been metama, they profaned and violated Dino. It was Levi together with Shimon that gave their risk their lives to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And it was later B'nai Levim were the ones who risked their lives to stand up with Moshe Rabbeinu by the Egel Azov, by the golden calf, when there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands that went off to serve idolatry. Moshe said, who is with me? Nisasfu Elov called B'nai Levi. All of the children of Levi came to him and he said, take your swords out and go to war. And it was Pinchas who again stood up and risked his life to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name at the time of the Midianites. And Matishohu, we read, was compared to Pinchas. So the Kahanim also, they were murgal, they were accustomed to this. So it was this type of move. It was this conduct. It was this strategy on the part of the B'nai Hashmonaim, led by their father Matishohu, that went and saved HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name from desecration, from being blotted out, from darkness. Klal Yisrael was going to become absorbed amongst the Greeks. And they elevated Hashem's name in the world. They gave their lives to Hashem's name. So he reacted in a revealed manner. And he moved aside the nature. And the greatest armies in the world became crushed by a small band of a citizen's army. This was the Rabin Biyad Ma'atim, the Giberim Biyad Haloshim. And then the nace of the Shemen in the menorah, which had its shoresh, its source, in the Beis HaMikdosh, and in the menorah where the Ner Marovi, the Western candle, where there was a testimony to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known throughout the world. He dwells in that house. So therefore, when the Chazal came to enact mitzvahs of Hanukkah, this is what they were interested in. They were interested in doing and in celebrating what the Hashmonaim did. We have to be mefarshim esanes. We have to reveal the great open miracles that took place. And this they were enacted through the lighting of the candles, which have to, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, reveal this. We have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shimcha HaGodol, your great name, because this was the time when his name was revealed in the world. And Lahalel Lahodos, and we have to give praise and say Halel. Halel can be said in its totality, Gomrin es ha-halo, the entire halo, in its totality, in its fullness. Praise can be given in its fullness only when we see what happens. When we do not see what happens, we cannot say halo. This is in the meaning of the Gemara in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yudalet, where the Gemara says, why don't we say halo on Purim? So the Gemara says, "Ein omrim halal el anesh be'eretz Yisrael." We only say halal on a miracle that takes place in Eretz Yisrael, not in the Golus, not in the exile. Or before we came to Eretz Yisrael, because then where Klal Yisrael was, that was like Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says. Because there we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we're in the darkness of the golos of the exile, we might know what's happening, but we cannot see it. And to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a fullness of a halal and fullness of heart, you have to be able to see. And the halal and the lahodos is public. For example, to give a korban todah, to give thanks, this was done publicly in the Beis HaMikdosh. David HaMelech writes in Halo, Nidorei LaHashem Ashalem Negdor Nol Lechol Amoy. I will give thanks to you in the presence of all of your nation. B'chatzreis Beis HaShem. This is why when one bench is Gomel, there must be a minion. There has to be a tzibur. And therefore, Chanukah was a particular time of Halal, because that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name was revealed in the world, and he revealed himself in the world. And we, since they could see it at that time, they said Halal at that time. And this Kiddusha, this sanctity, was established forever in the days of Chanukah, even though today we live in the Golus. And this followed suit, which we find that when Klal Yisrael came to the Red Sea, so first was Vayiboku Hayam, the water split, and then Oz Yoshe Moshe. And then they went and they sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there they could see him. They could see what happened. This is the halacha, the law of halal, on Chanukah. Therefore we find these mitzvahs, the Pesume Niso, that the purpose of the Neros is to reveal to the world, reveal to Israel what HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to the world on Hanukkah. And the Hallel and the Hodah to give praise and thanks, and the Shimcha HaGodol to the name which He revealed to us. Yetz Hashem, we should be zeicher to see again the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the world and His miracles in the world. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.